Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam.
Exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdag.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is Saturday, July the 2nd. That is just 2 days before July the 4th, which is obviously the Independence Day. And it's Usama Dakdag with you from the state of Missouri. And it is my honor to have with me tonight Brother Paul from Rochester, New York, and from Mississippi, somewhere in Mississippi. She will not tell me where she's at. But good to have you both, and happy Independence Day. Happy 4th of July for both of you.
And you brought Clifford with you, did you?
Here he is, in the back. I see him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little out of sorts.
He's
right
tired.
Now.
He worked hard today, and it's a hard day.
The other Clifford was in here, but he won't stay when his owner isn't in here.
The real big dog. I remember that big dog. That's a big one.
You met him. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Anyway, well, good to have all of you in the chat room. Thank you so much for joining us. And I hope within the next few minutes you can also continue to invite your friends, because we're about to start in our study a little bit later, stage number 4 in the stages of embryology. As we see today, another miraculous mistakes in the Quran, which sadly Muslims use the words to prove that Islam is true. Because how did Muhammad know these details of the stage of the growth of the embryology 1400 years ago, and the man could not read and write? He was ignorant or illiterate. But guess what? What we study proof was that he truly was ignorant or illiterate. He did not study at all, or he just learned what he can have access to in his days, which is the false information. Anyway, so what else do you have? Paul, start with Paul, since you're in the top. We should start with Christy. She's a lady. You start with Christy. Okay.
No,
forget about Paul.
Paul. That's okay. The original.
Well, all right. So I'm going to put this one in the chat room. There was an attack, so to speak, on a crisis pregnancy center, and this is in Tennessee. And they threw Democrats, I'm just going to say Democrats because they're the ones who got upset about the Supreme Court ruling. Mm-hmm. They threw a Malakoff cocktail thrown into a Tennessee pregnancy resource center. This is on Yahoo News, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Came out yesterday. Local and federal authorities are investigating after a Molotov cocktail was thrown through the window of a pregnancy resource center. The offensive drew ire from the state's Republican governor, who deemed the early morning crime terroristic. But with God's blessings, and I have yet to figure this one out, the Molotov cocktail that was thrown in didn't ignite. I mean, what did they forget to do? Put the fire on the fire. I don't know how it doesn't ignite. I have no idea how it doesn't ignite unless
you forget. God blew it out.
Yeah. It's the only thing that makes sense. It's a good news story at the same time. I mean, somebody did this,
but that shows you, that shows you the great level of evil and hatred among the Democrats who do not like life.
Yeah.
They want to burn things down. They want to kill. They want to destroy. That is exactly the work of the devil. If it is Satan in the Bible or Allah in the Quran, it's the same. Kill, destroy, and steal. It is the work of the devil. I mean, I don't know what is wrong with these people. Why they hate life that much that they're willing to terrorize the places of refuge for these young ladies who would like to, who needed help. And we would love to help them to get a better future, a better life. I mean, supremacy. I normally don't talk about that a lot, but you have to understand that I am a father because a mother did not go with her abortion to my son. The Lord blessed me with Caleb 25 years ago, and if it was not of that mama who chose to choose life over death, I would have never been called dad. I would never been a father. Neither even Caleb's mother, who is now mother, and thank God he have now two moms, the physical mom, which is his real mama, of course, and the adopted mom, which is my wife, Vicky. So these people are so hateful. They don't like life. They hate life. They love death. They like to be criminals. And the media thinks it's okay. Do not talk about it. Imagine if that's the opposite. Imagine if somebody threw that cocktail in a Porsche clean place. Guess what's going to happen, Brother Paul? It will be all over the news. It will be all over the media. And they're going to complain that Jesus did it, as the Christian believer did it, even though this has nothing to do with Christianity or Jesus. God help us. Go ahead, Chris, if you want to share something about it.
Oh, Paul, were you finished?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, well, there's a couple of things that I wanted to share, and that is that there was a lot of activity going on in the Supreme Court, like we've talked about. So these cases around abortion have ignited all of this hatred and anger here, but you have another kind of anger that's going on where we have Christians being persecuted all over the world. So in Burkina Faso, jihadists have murdered over 100 Christians, and that's according to the UN and the EU, which are condemning an attack and calling for an investigation. But as I've pointed out to a number of people here in recent days, these kinds of attacks were going on, all the time in the years around 2008, when Obama came in. We saw an increase in this, and it got into the media. But then all of a sudden, we're seeing all of this kind of stopped. We're not seeing this information on the internet. We're not seeing it in the news. And Usama, as you said, there has been a reduction in what we're hearing about. But some of this is because there's so many Muslims that are immigrating illegally into our country, as well as so many Muslim refugees. It's like they don't want there to be terrorist attacks in these other places because it will put a damper on the ability of Muslims to come into the country. It was always like, oh, Trump hated Muslims. That's why they couldn't come into America. And this is a whole plot to make people think that there's no threat from Muslims. So that was just all a big made-up story. And now we're seeing how the media has been complicit in covering these things up and how the Muslim community always has an excuse, as Usama and I have talked about, why a Muslim will carry out an attack like this. Well, they're mentally ill, or they're uneducated, or they're poor. We know that's the excuses. So you don't have the general public now, I'm telling you. I know, Usama, we're getting old. Paul, we're getting old. We remember what was going on under Obama. We remember what was going on in Libya. We remember what was going on. But these things are still going on in other parts of the world, but we're not hearing about it. And there's always an excuse covering it up. So I just wanted to bring that up because you saw I was watching videos that we had done, a couple of them that we did with Rick and somewhere mm-hmm. we were talking about this years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is not changed. Islam has not changed. Terrorism has not changed, but the political power in our country has changed to where their goal and the media's goal is to prevent you from understanding that that is part of Islam. Because if I'm going to bring all these people in from various countries, Afghanistan, for instance, I cannot have American citizens understanding what Islam is or that their terrorism is taught in Islam. One of the comments that I had made is if there were Christians coming in from a Christian country and they were terrorists, what would I say?
Huh.
And I said, number one, I would say they are not Christians.
Absolutely.
That is the key. They're
maybe
not
undercover Muslims.
Yeah. But Christy, you got a good point here. We don't judge the religion by the people's actions or words, but we judge the doctrine and the religion action by the teaching of the of the religion. So does the Bible teach to do anything wrong? Does Christianity, does the New Testament teach us to do terrorist attacks? Of course not. That's why you will never see a born-again Christian do that. And if some Christian or somebody can be a Christian do these things, that means he's not living the Christian life, the opposite in Islam. You cannot be a Muslim and you don't be a terrorist. Because to be a Muslim, to submit to the Quran, to submit to Muhammad, to practice the teaching of the Quran and the command of Muhammad, which order you and force you to be a terrorist. This is it. You have no other option. And the sad thing is Muslims are getting smarter. I guarantee you, Christian, Muslims in America regret what happened in September 11th. I'm talking about the Muslim Brotherhood. I'm talking about the Muslim Jihadi, like Karen Isma and others who are right now all over the media pretending to be these loving, peaceful, non-profit, wonderful, great organization. Okay, but in reality, that day will come and they will be the one who will carry the big jihad, the big attack, when the Muslim will have the upper hand in this country. And that will be too late to fix it. As long as they pretend to be what they're not, they will continue to come to America, and slowly the Islamic ideology will creep in, slowly. Sharia will be the law of the land. I'm not kidding you. When I listen, when I see the liberal Democrat and what they're doing to our Constitution, it is nothing but cutting a few pages from the Constitution, because soon the whole Constitution will be put aside, and it will be replaced by Sharia here in America. This is what I'm afraid of is going to happen very soon. There is time to be born and there's time to die. Today we're celebrating the birth of America one more time, but the day will come and America will be destroyed from within, like every great civilization of the past.
Well, two more points that I will share. One of them is that Joe Biden continues to make news that's not necessarily appropriate for what his administration wants us to think. But there's a headline that says a central objective of U.S. President Joe Biden's upcoming visit to the Middle East is to further integrate Israel into the region. He said on Thursday. What? What is he talking about? Integrate Israel into the region. I found that an odd phrase. Like, oh, they've got to be integrated into what is he talking about? I mean, your guess is as good as mine, but he's claiming that his trip, the purpose, is to deepen Israel's integration into the region. What does that mean?
Can you help me, Christy? What does, or Paul, what does the word integration mean in English?
In integration, this is actually extremely important.
Mix together? Is that what he meant?
Okay. Integration means when you come into a country, you blend into the country.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Now, what the United States government has done is remove that word from the refugee resettlement program. Now they're expected that the community has to adopt the people into their community. It's not, the other person isn't expected to
become part of it. I got your point. It's exactly what I understand in my head here.
Yes.
But what makes Israel Israel? Because they're mixed with the world or because they're set apart from the world?
They're
Joe Biden.
This is God.
That Joe Biden doesn't have a clue what he's saying. The man lost his mind completely. So now we're going to also integrate Christians to the world. So we'll become like the world. No, you know why we are Christian? The Bible say the Bible commands the Jews as much as the Bible commands the Christian to separate from them.
Yes.
Separate, not integrate with them.
Right. We're not supposed to be like the world, and Israel was never intended to be like the rest of the Middle East.
And if I can go in his mind and I think what in the world he is thinking, it would be like, let's melt Israel to be part of the Middle East and let the Muslims take over Israel.
Doesn't that sound like what he's getting at? It was very disturbing, these comments.
I was born on Friday, but it was not yesterday. It was a long time ago. So I'm a little bit, I think I can read some of the thoughts of the liberals. And so is the reality. Israel will never be Israel if they integrate with the Middle East.
Exactly.
And the Christians will not be a Christian if they mix with the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. That is the teaching of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's like we're a ship. The ship has to be in the water. You cannot move the ship on earth. You cannot just move. It has to be in the earth. We are made to be in the world, but we're not of the world, because when you get the water into the ship, you know what's going to happen to the ship, Christy?
It sinks. It sinks.
Ooh, yeah. Even if it's huge, and they call it unsinkable.
Yeah.
Huh. The unsinkable, right now, it's under the water.
Yeah.
Why? Exactly. Because the water went inside that great ship. The Titanic. Titanic means unthinkable. Am I right in that, Paul, or I'm wrong?
Well, it's supposed to be the ship that's the unshippable, unsinkable ship that's.
But
sank.
It's right now. Where is Titanic?
It's in the deep, dark Atlantic. I think it's the Atlantic.
Yeah,
it's all I know. Atlantic. It's under the ocean.
Under the sea. Under the sea. Under the sea. Okay. So,
anyway, I thought that was a very weird plan that he's got, or at least a very weird way to explain his interest in Israel. The next thing is that was said out of the administration, and probably y'all heard it, was when one of the spokesmen for the Biden administration was asked, what about people struggling to pay for gas? This is a big problem. And many people are having a hard time. And his response was, are they going to do anything about this to lower the cost of gas? And This is what the guy said. He said, this is true, but we have to continue, basically keep doing what they're doing. We have to continue to protect the liberal world order. This is words, liberal world order. Have you ever heard this before?
One world order. Liberal.
Well, that was quite a
order.
Bold. Yeah, that was very bold and I think dangerous statement.
It might have
reveals
been
that who's really in charge. It is not the current person who holds the office, and that's the scary thought.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this was, again, one of these things where you go, sometimes people accidentally tell the truth, or they tell the truth
because
in
they've
a
got
way.
Dementia.
Yeah, but you're supposed to think it's fine. I heard that and I went, what? What are they talking about?
The WEF.
Yeah.
I've got his question. I've got his question.
I did want to bring up his other
point here. He said this and I just thought it fit.
Okay.
I wonder if Joe Biden's missed a random drug test.
He must have missed it. Anyway, I got one more thing, and this is something for people to look into, Paul. I believe that there are a lot of people who very sincerely believe that our responsibility as God-fearing, loving American people to go in and support the Ukrainian government. I believe there's a lot of people that think we need to do that against Russia. But it was very hilarious to hear Joe Biden say, as in another speech, it's Russia, Russia, Russia. Why is food shortages here in America going to come? Russia, Russia, Russia. Why are gas prices up? He said, Russia, Russia, Russia. Now,
almost
again,
like we're saying Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It was like
yeah.
when we were saying this, that it was mocking their declaration that Trump was in bed with Russia. Now, Biden uses this, but here's the thing people need to research, because I've looked into this a little bit. The Ukrainian troops have a number of Nazi members of the Nazi Party who are in it, and they have been responsible for killing a number of the Ukrainians who have Russian descent. I really think we're being sold a bill of goods, and our military people are being sacrificed for the sake of Joe Biden's sons and his financial investments that they're protecting and pulling us into this conflict with Russia as a means to provoke what has always been done by Obama. Remember when Obama was provoking all these wars with Libya, with in Egypt? He was provoking all of this turnover and turmoil. And this is another thing that's being done.
Biden is following the same footsteps of Obama.
Yes.
Obama divided the United States of America people and tried to bring chaos between Libya and other country in Iraq and Syria. He was actually trying to make Syria like Libya, but
yes,
he was not able to do it. Remember, with McCain was also standing with him.
Yes.
God help him. God help us with liberals like McCain. But Biden is doing in a deeper circle. I mean, yes. Obama did not bring 2-3 million people in the first 2 years to America at least, but he wanted to bring the people from everywhere to America. And in the first 4 years, he actually was pretending to be united, the United States of America, and that's how he won, by the way. But then he started showing the real color in the second 4 years. He divided them. And as I said before, he actually divided rich against poor, Spanish against American, men against women, blue against red. As a matter of fact, he divided red against red. I never thought that some guy like Obama would have the might or the deception to even divide it the Republican against each other. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons why some of the Rhino, Republican in name only, grew up in these last 4 years of Obama is because of Obama. And let me say this, Chris.
Yes.
If it was not for Joe Biden, we would never have heard Russia, 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 and Ukraine. The reason Russia went to Ukraine and the reason why we have this mess in Ukraine is because of a man by the name of Biden.
Yes. You know, and that's what I'm saying, is the investigation of what's really going on there and why Russia went in there is not what we're being told by the media. And when I saw these interviews with people who were saying that the Ukrainian military had attacked them and had destroyed their homes and had attacked their families, it was because of their Russian background. And I'm just telling you, I am so unsure of anything that is being said anymore by not only the administration, but also by the media. I mean, we know they have been complicit in so much evil, so much illegal activity, so many things that they have not shown, not supported, and we've got billions of people who listen to the news and they're being lied to, and others who get on the internet or Facebook or whatever chat room, their friends, and they are not getting the truth either. It's very disturbing. This is an age of deception.
And you know what, Christy? I'm hoping when we take the House and the Senate, that we can stop this bleeding of this country. And then in 2024, even if Russia is still invading Ukraine, you will see, Lord is willing, when we have our conservative president, as we will literally put this country back to sane, because we're becoming insane right now.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see that not only we're going to bring order in the country, with the crime rate, which is going to skyrocket, but we're going to have our border. We're going to be a country again, I'm hoping, and we're going to make America great again. And then we have the gas price. I'm hoping it will go from the $5, $6. Who knows? Maybe by the time Biden leaves the White House, it will be $8-$10 a gallon. Maybe we can drop it to $2 a gallon or even less than $2. But tell them it has nothing to do with Russia. It has something to do with your stupidity. You are sick people. You think if we burn the gas from Saudi Arabia or from Iran or Venezuela, that burning of that gas in our cars, even though we're paying $8 a gallon, will not cause any problem in the atmosphere. But if we burn our own gas, which is cleaner, from our own land, which we have enough for 200-300 years to go, that would be dangerous for the atmosphere. God help us. If you are not stupid, you need to examine yourself. Go to some psycho doctor, because most likely, if you believe that it's okay to burn the Saudi oil or the Iranian oil or maybe the Russian oil or somebody else's oil is better for the environment, that means you're sick in your head. Not just mentally, but spiritually, and everything else goes with it. Anyway, this is my simple word.
But you know what, Usama? For some of us, we saw all of this. This is a repeat performance from the 70s. They did the same thing in the 70s. They shut down our oil reserves. They shut down oil here. And that is all about politics and giving power to nations other than the United States.
Sure.
And Trump is the first
they
one.
They said it, and Mr. Trump said it, well, he was 100% accurate. They hate America. They don't want us special. They want us to melt in the world, integrate in the world. Let's make the 56 other Muslim countries as great as we can ever be, and let's all be one big country, one big world without borders. And let's all just hug and kiss each other and be this happy family. Anyway, it is sick. Brother Paul, move on to 4th of July, the great Independence Day. And I started it 27, 28 years ago when I became a citizen. When I became a citizen, I have to study about the 4th of July. And man, oh man, what a great history. I was watching a commercial yesterday on TV. Most likely you guys all seen it, a father and his son and his wife, they're sitting in the table, and the boy was studying some material. He said, Dad, do you know that America is a racist country? What?
I've not seen that.
It's a good commercial. Have you seen it, Christy?
I have
not seen it. So tell me, Paul, you are the teacher here. Tell me about the 4th of July, and are we really a racist country?
I haven't seen that advertisement, but I don't have a TV.
It's awesome. Go watch it. It's a good commercial.
I think I'd probably throw something at the TV. One of the first people to die in the U.S. in the American Revolution was black. And people, I mean, that is Crispus Attucks. And sorry, that's not even close to accurate.
Yeah.
Unless you want to start saying that the first, I mean, guys, there's other things to talk about, but. We declared our independence July 4th with something called the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did was simply state our grievances against a tyrannical despot known as King George III. And we, as I would say my ancestors, they were here during this. They fought in the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
We declared our independence from a place that decided to make themselves God and declare what was our freedoms. Sorry, God gives us freedoms, not the king.
That's awesome. And 240, how many years today coming up this week?
You're the mathematician,
you saw it.
Tell
not me. I am not a math guy.
What is the date of the birthday? Give it to me, right?
1776.
I'm sorry. We are 22. Hey, let me do it right. 2022 minus 1776. So 246 years. Happy 246 years birthday. That great country, America, which I love. You know what? I hate to repeat myself. It's time to be born and it's time to die. And I don't want to see this country go down. But with the help of the liberals, with the help of the Muslims, as they're using the liberals as useful idiots, if we continue to walk that way, America will not be celebrated. The first day of America will not be celebrated for a long time. But we know, Brother Paul, we're close to the end, and Jesus is coming back. So, but we need to be found faithful. When he comes back, we'll hear what? We'll hear from him, well done, my faithful servant. And that's what I want to hear from my Lord. So it doesn't matter if we have another 50 years to celebrate the Independence Day or we have 5 years. It doesn't make a difference. We're going to stand up for the truth. We're going to speak the truth in love and in boldness. And whatever come, may it come. Anything else you want to share, Brother Paul? Christy?
My family's actually been here since 1622, I believe.
So it was before the Independence Day.
Yeah, my family came on the second Mayflower. So I think it's 1622. So to say, you know, fought for, I recommend, you know, one of the things I recommend every American citizen, go to Boston and follow the Freedom Trail. You'll see the information on Crispus Attucks there, all right? You'll see that if America's racist, why are we promoting who this man was? We'd be erasing it. I'm sorry, we don't erase things like that. So, and that's what history, that's what those Confederate statues were important for, so we don't hide the fact that America was racist in the South. Now they're doing that.
Yeah.
So,
that's that.
Well, you know.
And you know what? Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
I think a lot of the people who constantly say, oh, there's so many racists around. I mean, I live in Mississippi, okay? And when I came here, I was a little apprehensive about the history of the South. But the truth is, what's interesting to me is I found that the people who I knew in the West were actually far more likely to be prejudiced against people of other races. So it was odd to me. And there's not this huge conflict that people have heard, in so much as many leaders who say they're standing up for the black community are really not listening at all to the majority of people in the black community now, because many of the Christians that we know and love and work with and go to church with are black. And there's a lot of interracial marriage and things like this that they don't want you to know about. They want you to continue to believe there's so much strife and racial prejudice. But I say, look, if the liberals believe that, it's because they are the racist and they're surrounded by racists.
Exactly.
So I would tell them, come to my church.
Yeah.
Come to my church with me. There's every color under the sun as far as races go in my church. And that's how church should be.
You will not find racism in the church, because the church believe in creation. The church believe in Adam and Eve. The church believe in human race, which is one race. But the liberals who allow the garbage evolution to be taught in our public school all these years are telling us that we are just evolving from some animals, apes or not. And believe it or not, now they believe that there is racism. And because they believed it and practiced it, well, they are promoting it and they are doing everything to use that title to bring division in the country. But here is the truth. We're 20% or less black in America. Well, guess what? I believe if we do a survey, honest survey, ask the black if they're racist to put one or whatever, you know, do a survey, and the white is a racist, I promise you, there are more black racist people in this country than white, even though the number of black in America is much less than the white. How do I know that? I lived in New Orleans for 3 years. I was taught about that by black Christian brothers and sisters in New Orleans, and I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it that there are black racists, because in my mind, I know that white are racist. White are the one, not believe in racism, but white are the one who hate black. White are the ones who made slavery. White. And then I go to New Orleans, and guess what? If you get in a car accident and you hit a black person, or a black person actually hits you, and you are white, pray, my friends told me, as we sit on the Highway 10 for 3 hours, from 9 to 12 o'clock at midnight, pray, Usama, that the Lord will send us a white cop. And I said, what? Are you kidding me? What white cop is doing? Usama, you don't understand. And the black lady cop, she showed up at 12 o'clock, and she made my wife guilty. Even though the two boys hit her car. And that happened not once, but twice with Vicky. And then it happened with me. And I could not believe myself. And thank God, brother Bob Cox, friend of mine, Chris, he knows who he is. He was standing next to me when the cop lied in the report and make it my fault. I could not believe it. The lady hit me. I was not moving. And he wrote in the report, I was going to the media to open. I'm not just saying this just a street ticket in 3 years lived in New Orleans. I'm talking about cases of cases and cases. Lots of friends, Christian ministers. I'm talking about, I am right now in New Orleans studying theology. This is a Christian community. We pray together in classrooms. And we said, something happened. We pray. Something happened. We pray. And guess what? There are plenty of black officers in New Orleans who hate white just for being white.
And you're not even white.
Oh, that is another truth. These same black who hate white, they hate people my color skin because they think that we are mixed. They want to stick black with black and the white folks with the white folks. That's how I was learning from some black. So if you are a mixed color like me, and not white or not black, they think, oh, it must be a black brother with a white lady. That's where I come from, or the opposite. So they hate that too. As a matter of fact, black people in New Orleans hate African black. Wait a minute. Brother Quixton, he said, used to study with me, and he said, Usama, they hate me too. I said, what do you mean they hate you too? He said, because they think we are from Africa who come to America to study and do business, whatever. We are the one who sold their daddy to the white folks. So we are the free of Africa who sold their ancestors to slavery to come to America or to Europe. Wow. Can you imagine how many TV programs have been broadcast or how many TV stations talked about black racism in America? I guarantee you, you have never heard that anywhere else besides which offers it. Why? Because it's not politically correct to talk about black racists in America. You can talk about them white supremacists, but not black. Black are not racist. They're so wonderful. They love everybody.
Well,
and we, the white supremacists, hate them. As the white say that in the media in America. What is this?
Well, I'm just saying, I worked for an organization that had about 400 employees. Out of those 400, five of us were not black. There was a Vietnamese man who was there, me, and I think three other white people who worked for that agency. So, I mean, I had a lot of people I work with who were black. I got the inside story about a lot of things. What Usama is saying is true, but there was a lot of racism in the community, in the black community, against lighter skin, blacks. They had a hostility toward them, like Usama was saying. However, the larger number of people in the world who are Asian, believe it or not, there is huge racism among different Asian groups. They hate one another completely. But what I'm saying is this is part of the sinful nature of human beings at someone else and have an issue with them based on where they're from or something about their appearance. But, you know, I love this scripture where the Lord says, if you say you love me but you hate your brother, then you're a liar. Because how can you say you love God? You love God whom you have not seen, and you hate your brother whom you have.
I was just reading that earlier today.
Yeah,
thank you for saying that.
We have to remember that God has said we were all created in his image. We don't really know what God's image is except to look around and see what his creation is. And I used to say, you know, we've got to keep in mind that this is a division that Satan has initiated and tried to exploit. So when you see people hollering racism, don't think that's coming from any source from God. And where there are Christian groups claiming they're Christian who will say things about black people that are completely false, and they'll claim that it's biblical. Like, yeah. Oh, black people are cursed, or, you know what I mean? This is
that is inexcusable
because yeah. that yeah. is not anything
Islam,
connected with
Islam ideology, Christy, quickly because I don't have time to get to it tonight. Islam ideology teaches that when Noah's son had sex with his wife on Noah's ship during the flood, God cursed him and caused him to have a son who is black. And black, by nature, from the teaching of Allah in the Quran and the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith, it is not good. As a matter of fact, Muhammad taught us that all the black will burn in hell. All the white will get to paradise. I don't know where Muhammad come up with that, because obviously he did not know that there will be black in America and black in Africa will convert to Islam because of the lies his people are teaching them.
I can tell you, if he thinks that, we got some white people we know that I'm really wondering about.
Yes, indeed.
But I want to say one other thing. I believe the reason this racism thing has become so critically important for the liberal agenda is because I can tell you what I remember from years ago. We had music back in the 50s. That was done by groups like the Platters, and these were black music groups, and they had hit records, and everyone loved it. You know, a lot of people didn't know, but Elvis Presley made no secret of that he took his musical stylings from different black musicians. So there was always this idea that people were lifted up because of their talent, and this was a lot in the music industry, and it continued to be such. Now when you have TV commercials where they show very frequently racially mixed couples, and you have television programs that have people within a family who may be married to someone of another race, or you see a whole series of programs about black American families. This is where racism in America was coming to an end. And I believe with all my heart, the liberals realized if they didn't jump on this quickly, they would lose the power of using racism to incite division among people in this country.
And you're talking about commercials, Christy, there's lots of commercials now where we see black lady in hijab. Muslims are part of our commercial. And gay and lesbian are part of our commercial.
Yes.
So it is a medicine. And I don't know what this medicine is for.
Well, the one thing you don't see is a white male.
Or a Christian lady with a cross in her, you know, wearing a cross. That's not acceptable. You can see a lady in hijab, but you cannot see a Christian lady was a cross. I have never seen one commercial except Mike Lindell, my fellow guy. He have a cross on his shirt.
Yes.
And he does it for a purpose as a testimony. But besides Mike Lindell, you will never see commercial about anything. You can see two guys, you can see two ladies in the different people, black and white, and of course the Muslim lady in the hijab, because they want to make it part of our life. It is a norm. You don't be alarmed when you see a lady in a hijab. Just remember, the lady in the hijab are crossing the T's of the Quran, which means most likely she will have a boy who will be practicing jihad in America. Just most likely. I'm not guessing it. I'm not suggesting it, but that is the reality. A mom in hijab, a dad with a beard, their son for sure will be a next terrorist in America. Why? Because they are going to be raising their children a good Muslim. A good Muslim is exactly those who practice the Quran, not those who live according to their desires. And that is obviously will bring us to the end of America. Paul, anything else you want to share, or Christy?
Let's see. I had a couple, but the biggest thing I can see of that I was looking at today, it's something I'm going to hopefully going to be talking about in my show this week, but it is It's about what's happened in Canada with the Muslim American. Let me get this up here. It's an article by the National Post, and they're exposing the the speakers at a Muslim. Just get this right. It's the Muslim. I think it's American Council. I gotta double check it. Muslim Association of Canada.
Yeah.
And basically, they got caught with their speakers who are advocating for the death penalty for homosexuals and saying it's okay to beat your wife and stuff like that.
Just open the Quran. Open the Quran. Read the teaching of Muhammad. Well, how can you get caught in that?
Well, the issue here is that they're receiving federal dollars from Canada. They're receiving federal dollars to say these things.
Oh, they're supported by the government. Well, but at the same time, they're teaching the real Islam. Man, that's bad. That's bad. Yeah.
And, I mean, they got caught with their pants down, so to speak.
But don't worry. It's going to be fixed. The guy did not mean what he said, or he was mentally ill, or maybe he was poor on that day. He didn't have any money, or he was uneducated, so he misunderstood. It's going to be fixed within the next few hours, few days. And then this will go under the radar, and nobody going to say it again, and life is good. Allah Akbar, that fear, mashallah.
There are two questions here already. I didn't know if you wanted to address
them. Let's put the question in the end so we can have enough material.
Okay.
Christy, any last word before we move on with a quick commercial, and then we come to our study?
No, but I do want to warn you that I cannot always stay for the after-hour questions. Last week I had to leave.
I know. We'll apologize.
And I couldn't
tell you
that I was leaving, and I apologize for that.
That's okay. We still love you, Christy, even if you don't like us. It doesn't matter.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Many people have serious questions about the religion of Islam. Who are Muslims and what do they believe? Liberal Muslim scholars and clerics spin the news and continually promote Islam as the religion of peace. Worship the same God. But is this true? Where can we turn for the answers? To truly know what a faith teaches, you have to go to the book. And for the last 1,400 years, that book for Muslims is the Quran. This collection of the sayings and teachings that Muhammad claimed to have received from Allah is the sacred text for over a billion Muslims worldwide. But the Quran was written in Arabic, so how can we in the West learn what it really says? Muslim apologists have produced several English translations over the years, but these have been carefully edited to hide many of the blatant errors, immoral teachings, and violent commands throughout the book.
In the beginning of our ministry, we decided to tell the truth about Islam. Therefore, we decided to buy the English translation of the Quran to use the verses which is written there. Sadly, I could not find one Quran to present the truth as it is written in the Arabic language. They sugarcoat it. They water it down. That's why we decided to go ahead and translate the Quran from Arabic to English, a true English translation.
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry, in cooperation with Arab and English scholars from around the world, has produced the most accurate English translation of Islam's holy book ever printed. Read for yourself exactly what Muhammad taught his followers about war and violence, about sex and marriage, about the treatment of infidels, and more importantly, what he said about Jesus.
Islam is not what I share with you or what some moderate Muslims tell you. Islam is the verses of the Quran. We must separate Muslim from Islam. There are so many wonderful Muslim people out there, but they are not true Muslim because simply they don't practice what the Quran teaches. So many American people say they accept Islam. They do not have any problem for Muslims to practice Islam in America, but same people rejecting Sharia, Islamic law, not knowing that Sharia, Islamic law, is the practice of the verses of the Quran.
This translation has been produced with the modern student in mind, with several key features including study notes for the reader, detailed notes concerning errors and contradictions in the text, careful comparisons between the Quran and biblical accounts, and references to the original sources that Muhammad borrowed from. Special sections discuss key topics such as a compilation of non-Arabic words and idioms found in the Quran, and easy prophecies concerning Jesus in the Old Testament, and a challenging gospel invitation to introduce the reader to the scientific historical, and biblical reasons for accepting the true Jesus as the only Lord and Savior.
In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible said, "My people, it is time for us to read the Quran. It's time for us to find the truth for ourselves."
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Read the Quran for yourself and understand the roots of this dangerous faith. Individual
Well, welcome back. We're glad to have you with us in this beautiful Saturday night. July is the second, just 2 days before the Independence Day. So once again, happy birthday, America, and happy Independence Day for all of us who love this country and cherish its constitution and believe in the true teaching of the Bible. We have this commercial just a few seconds ago about the Quran. And what does the Quran teach about embryology, the stages of embryology? If you have not seen the previous four programs, please, we encourage you to go back and watch them because it's all connected. Of course, as you see tonight, that we normally talk for 35 minutes, 40 minutes or so about current events, things happening in the country or around the world. And we can do a whole show about that every day for 3-4 hours. But we just want to spend a little bit of time to warm up your heart to get to this study, which we will do every night. So last four broadcasts, we covered the first three stages. And today we're going to go to stage number four. And depending if we have time, we maybe start on stage number five. And with that, we'll go ahead and share with you what the Quran teach about stage four. Christy, Paul, feel free to stop me anytime. And for our wonderful audience, if you have any question, hold on to your question or just write it down on a piece of paper in case you forgot. And after our study is over, if we have time before we close on the radio, because obviously, you know, right now we are on the radio. And
I would say you can write them in. I'll put them aside for later.
All
so
right.
If you write them in, I can easily save them.
All right. So, Brother Paul, if you don't mind, keep your eyes on the comments. If there is any questions there, go ahead, put your question. And, Brother Paul, God bless you. You're going to stay Zen so we can get back to them and answer them in the end of our study. Stage number four. Now, remember that Muslims are telling us these stages is a great scientific evidence that Muhammad is a prophet from Allah. And that's not just the statement of the Muslims. That's actually the testimony of Professor Keith Moore. He's a doctor, for heaven's sake. He's a Canadian doctor who wrote a book about embryology. His book is in six languages when that video was made. I don't know. Maybe right now his book in another 20 languages. Who knows? Maybe that work he did in this conference with all of these Muslim doctors from all over the world made him more famous, and maybe his book was translated to 20 other languages. But the man is a stupid, and a stupid is, stupid says, stupid does. He said Muhammad could not be just a person, but he must be a prophet. Why? Because how did he know these very detailed information about the stages of the embryology 1400 years ago when he could not read or write? It makes sense. If you listen to Dr. Keith Moore and the scientific evidence he has in the Quran, everybody should believe in Muhammad. Forget about Jesus. He did not die on the cross. He's not the Son of God. The Father is corrupted. The truth is in Muhammad, and Muhammad is the final prophet and messenger. That's what Muslims say. And Professor Keith Moore goes with them. Why? Because he is stupid. Once again, the falsehood of the Quran concerning embryology became the evidence that Muhammad is a prophet. Wow. You have to be stupid to believe in Professor Keith Moore. As we continue tonight, let's look together at stage four.
What stage? Surah Al-Muminim, Ayah 1 to 14. And I repeated that before. Then we created the drop into a leech-like structure. Then of that leech-like structure, we made a jude-like substance, see here, and begins during the 6th week.
6 weeks. Paul, do you have a calculator? I need some calculator, brother.
Okay, I got a calculator. I can pull it up.
How many days are these?
Six. How many days in six weeks?
Six times seven is 35. Six times seven. 42, brother.
Oh, 42. See, that's, I'm the wrong person to do. Go for math, yeah.
That's okay. I mean, I said 42, but didn't catch me. I said again. I give you time to process. 42 days.
Yep.
The chewing substance. Chewing substance. That is a picture which he put in his lecture. That's a picture of roughly around 5 centimeters.
That's 20. Okay, so 42 is not 28 days.
5 millimeters. I apologize. Okay, well, we're going to get into this. We're going to get into this. Imagine with me. First of all, the verse is a comedy. Why? Brother Paul, do me a favor. Open my Bible. Open my Quran and read for me the verse again.
Okay, what was the verse? 22, 23?
Quran chapter 23, Surah Al-Mu'minun, and verse 14. Okay, and I'm going to play it again.
Stage,
you go.
Surah Al-Mu'minun, ayah 1 to 14, and I...
I have no idea. What happened?
I have it. It says, then we created the nafta into a clot. So we created the clot into a piece of flesh. So we created the piece of flesh into bones. So we clothed the bones with flesh. Then we made it another creature.
Sure. Create is dumb mistake from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah made a mistake. Why? Let me remind you again. When you create, you made something out of nothing. God made Adam from the dirt which he created. There was no earth. God made earth. God used the earth to make Adam, not to create, and to make Adam. When Muhammad mentions these stages and we create, that is foolishness. Allah does not even know what the word create means. Imagine that was me. But what is the third stage here? After the clot, after the natfa, we got the clot. Let me remind again, the natfa is the two fluid, the white thick fluid which comes from the backbone of the man, and the soft yellow fluid which comes from the woman's breast, or maybe the bones of her chest.
You know, it doesn't make sense that you got fluid and then it becomes a dried up piece of a clot.
The clot is a congealed blood.
It's dead.
You get to that stage, which is madgha. You have to understand. The first stage was 40 days. Two fluids together, it's called natfa and shesh. Natfa and shesh. The Quran teaches that. 40 days, no change. There's the clot, which is another 40 days, no change. That's a clot. And then we come to the madgha, which is the third stage in the embryology, the fourth, because we created Adam, that makes it one, that's stage number one. So now we got a piece of flesh for 40 more days. That's 40 plus 40 plus 43 times 120 days. Dr. Kismore, Professor Kismore, is so stupid. He said 6 weeks. But in reality, 6 weeks is only clot. There's no chewed substance. The true substance, is actually 120 days. He got the whole thing wrong. Now, we're going to move on. What is the meaning of the word madgha? Of course, Professor Moore does not know how to say it. He does not know how to say the word madgha. He does not know how to say the word mu'minu, the name of the chapter, the believer. And somehow, he's reading piece of paper. Remind you again. When you enter the room, say hello, and then sit on your chair, and then greet them, and then do this and do that. The structure of Mr. O'Biden, it is the same piece of paper which Dr. Professor Kismore is reading from. He does not know what the word madgha is, and he does not know the name of the chapter, Al-Mu'minun. Chapter 23, verse 14. But somehow, somebody wrote it for him. And he read it. And behold, the West are converting Islam. No kidding. Educated kids. That shows you that we do not have education anymore in our colleges. Girls and boys in colleges in America run to the stage to say the Shahada and to become Muslim, because the Muslim convinces them that the Quran is scientifically accurate. is the meaning for the word madgha linguistically. We're going to learn Arabic tonight, okay? Like we always do with every other word. Here we go. Here we go.
From the dictionary, Khan of the Arab. Madgha, a piece of meat. And it was said that madgha could be from other than meat. Khalid ibn Jan said, madgha, of the meat is the amount which a man can put into his mouth.
Wow. You open, you get a spoon, and you put in your dish, and you grab something from it. Could be a meat, could be rice, could be shish kebab, I don't know, whatever you're going to eat. And you put it in your mouth, and when you chew on it, yamdog means chew. Madgha, what you chew. A piece of meat. Something like, you know, two pieces of gum together. Whatever you can put in your mouth and you chew on. You don't go. That's what you put in your mouth in a natural way to chew on. That is a madgha. Piece of meat. Brother Paul, if a woman loses her baby at the age of 120 days, will she have a little bit piece of meat come out of her?
No, it won't be a little.
First of all, it's not going to be at least a piece of meat. It's going to be a baby. I'm going to show you pictures. We're coming up with pictures. We'll show you some before. We'll show you again. That's no problem. But not a piece of meat. A piece of meat is a
carb. Very, very real.
Okay. Let's continue. The madgha in the hadith. What Muhammad said about the word madgha. Okay? Remember, natfa, two fluids, yellow and white, natfa and shesh, and then kinjil blood, and then now it become a piece of meat, okay? And he created the natfa into alka, and the alka into madgha. Whoa! Create! Allah does not know what he's talking about, but that's okay. Move on. Here we go.
Can't hear
us.
You can't hear it. Let me just read it.
And if it's spoiled, the whole flesh becomes spoiled.
Read it again, Brother Paul, for the ladies.
Muhammad said, isn't it, and for sure, in the flesh, there is madgha. If it does good, all the flesh will be good. And if it spoils, the whole flesh becomes spoiled. This is the heart.
So Muhammad describing the heart inside the man to be madgha. If your heart is good, all your body is good. If your heart is evil, all your body is evil. You got it? That is from Sahih Bukhari, the book of faith, chapter blah, blah, blah. Go and search the one. Now, let's move on to Fath al-Bari. Fath al-Bari, here we go.
He's saying madgha, meaning the amount of what is chewed and the expressed in here, with the amount of heart as it looks.
The amount you chew, of course you're not going to put a whole man heart in your mouth to chew on, but he suppressed it to be in the amount, it looked like the heart in its looks. It looked like the heart, but actually what you put in your mouth and you chew. Who said that? Fath al-Bari, in his interpretation for Sahih Bukhari, book 1, page 172. Let's continue with Sahih Muslim. Madam, when we say Sahih Muslim, we mean the correct hadith by the great Muslim scholar, Muslim. Okay? Here we go.
Muhammad said, verily Fatma, the daughter of Muhammad, is a madgha of me, and I do not approve that she may be put to any trial. And by Allah, the daughter of Allah's messenger cannot be combined with the daughter of God's enemy as the co-wives of one person.
So how Muhammad described his daughter Fatma to be what? A piece of flesh from him. A flesh from Muhammad. Obviously, Fatma was not his daughter. Muhammad married Khadija when she was in her 40s. Muhammad was 25, and she already had Fatma and other children. And they also adopted other children. But the whole point here is, Fatma is a piece of my flesh. A flesh from my flesh. We always say that in the Middle East. I don't know if you do this in America or not. But Muhammad rejected, here's the moral lesson of that hadith, Muhammad rejected that Fatma's husband will have another wife with her. So he wanted his son-in-law only to marry Fatma, not to have the Sharia, the Islamic law, which allow a Muslim man to have four wives and unlimited number of concubines and slaves. What a hypocrite man. If it is okay for Muhammad to have 11 wives at the time, an unlimited number of concubines, Why not his daughter to share her husband with other bunch of women? What was wrong with Sharia, Islamic law? Was Allah wrong, Muhammad, when he said a man can have sex with two or three or four? An unlimited number, these are the, in Islam it's called wives, it's not a wife. An unlimited number of concubine slaves, but Muhammad does not want it for his daughter, but he loved it for himself. And all the men love it for themselves. All right, so Fatma is a piece of flesh. Madgha is the Quran and its interpretation. Quran chapter 22 and verse 5. I hope the sound is high enough. If not, Paul, you can read it later.
O you people, if you were in doubt of the resurrection, so surely we created you from dirt, then from nutfa, then from a clot, then pieces of flesh, created and uncreated.
We're going to talk a lot about created and uncreated, but here is what Allah says. He first talked about the nutfa, and then he talked about the clot, and he talked about a piece of flesh.
Well, my biggest problem here is the term pieces.
Yeah, because some of them are created and some is uncreated, Brother Paul. It's why it is. It's, believe me, hogwash interpretation like we did in our program tonight when we finished Quran chapter 9, verse by verse.
Yeah.
By the way, that is exactly what Muslims would do. They interpreted words by creating, inventing interpretation to the word of Allah in the Quran. But,
yeah.
So what we're talking about here, pieces of flesh. Some are created and some are not created. That's why it's written in the plural language. It is just one piece of flesh. Trust me, no shape, no form in it. Here we go. Listen to Ibn Kathir's interpretation to Quran, chapter 22, verse 5, the verse we just have read.
And that is nutfa, stayed in the womb of the woman 40 days. Likewise, it will be added to it what is gathered to it, then it will change to red clot by Allah's permission. So it will stay likewise 40 days. It transforms into matka, a piece of flesh.
I mean, I cannot help it, Brother Paul, as a Christian, say, this is my interpretation. No. That is the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir. That is what he told us. What does the word madgha mean? It's a piece of flesh, piece of meat. No kidding. 120 days baby inside the womb is nothing but a piece of meat. And by the way, that piece of meat have no life in it. So far, Paul, don't get shocked. I know you're going to fall off your chair. Hold yourself. Okay, don't fall. That baby is not a baby because there's no life in it. It's just a piece of meat. No spirit in it yet.
I think the women would totally disagree because they're eating more.
Yeah. And God help us, 120 days. The interpretation of Ar-Razi, chapter 23, verse 14. Al-Mu'minun 14. Here's what Ar-Razi said.
We made that Ezekiel blood matka, meaning a piece of flesh, as if it is equal to what is chewed, and it is equal to what is scooped.
You get a spoon, you go in your kitchen pot and or dish, and you fill your spoon, put it in your mouth and chew on it. That's exactly what we're talking about. The meaning of the word madha is a piece of flesh, equal to what you chew in your mouth. Even if you have a big mouth like mine, it's not very big. Okay, so now understand the verse of the Quran, and we understand the interpretation of Ar-Razi, Ibn Kathir, and on with other. We can go for another hour. Here we go, Ibn Kathir, for the same verse, 23:14.
So we created the clot into a piece of flesh, and it is a piece like the piece of meat, which has no form and layout.
No form, Paul. No layout. Just get a gum and put it in your mouth, as we're going to show you here in the picture, and chew on it, and that's exactly what he's talking about. No shape, no form. No head, no hands, no legs, nothing. 120 days piece of meat. What do you say about that, Christy?
There's nothing you can say. This is, like, really disgusting.
Well, this is a person who has, I mean, somebody expects from a guy who can't read, and he lived in the 7th century, and he had a brain smaller than a pea, maybe. I don't know.
But that's not what Professor Kismore said. Professor Kismore assured us that the Quran fit perfectly with the six-week stage. He did not know it is actually not 6 weeks. It is actually 12 weeks. 12 weeks.
Wow.
He cut it to half. He's talking about the embryo, but in reality, we're talking about a piece of meat. Chewed one. No shape, no form, no layout. All right. Here we go. The interpretation of Madhab to those who claim there are miracles in the Quran. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Mashallah, mashallah. Look at this, Christy. You know what is this? I know the people on the radio cannot see that. That's why we encourage them to go on YouTube and watch this broadcast later as it's convenient. That is a chewing gum. So you put your gum in your mouth, put two of them, because one will be too small, okay? Two to fill your mouth good, and chew and chew and chew, and you see this hole in it from your teeth when you bite on it. That is exactly what Allah is talking about. A chewing piece of meat, no form or shape. But somehow, even with that piece of gum, somehow, the mother say, oh, look, there's so much similarity between the embryo and the chewing gum. Can't you see it, Christy?
No, I can't.
You can't see. I think you need to see the Shahada.
Yeah.
And then Allah will open your eyes and you'll be able to see it. The problem is you're infidel right now, okay?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's going to fall.
Because we use our brain.
I told you, Paul, when we talk about Islam, you need to put your brain aside. Otherwise, you will never become a man. Okay? So, let's go a little bit more. Here is the fetus, as it looked like, according to Dr. Kismore, the 6 weeks. That's how the fetus looked like. Does it have any shape? Does it have any form? I can look at this. I'm looking at you. Here's the head. Here's two hands. And here's two legs. Look like the tailbone here. But all going to build up. It's going to be a baby before you get to 120 days. Trust me. We're talking about 6 weeks, according to Kismore. Now, here is the embryo. And here is the chewing gum. Do they look alike?
Not even close.
One have form. One does not have any form. Just a chewing gum, piece of meat, you chew on it. But what Muslims say is they show you these two pictures and they say, look, you see here, this, you see this thing here? It looks like here, look at this, look.
Yeah, it looks like where it was chewed.
It looks like a tailbone here, oh, but you know. All right, how about this go a little bit? What is the difference between these things here in the back of the embryo and these things here in the chewing gum? What is this word here, Christy? I cannot read English. What this word said here?
Protrusion.
Which means what? It means sticking out.
Yes.
What is this word here, Christy? Is this not, what is this word here?
Indentation.
Which means what? It's holes. This, in the embryo, something is sticking out, and in the chewing gum, it's something, it's holes in it. But notice also the difference in the numbers. In the vertebral, whatever this word is,
okay,
there's 36 of them. 36 of them. That makes the backbone of the baby, okay? But when you chew, you only get 8 holes in it with your 8 teeth. Unless you open the chewing gum all the way through your mouth, and then you get 32. From one side to the other side, 32 indentation. Okay? Now let's move on to the next picture because it's very important. Because so far, you look, you know, close similar to the size, Paul. Can you see it? I mean, maybe the embryo is a little bit bigger, but not much. Okay? But here is the reality. This one is actually 5 millimeter, as Professor Kismore was talking about, and this one is actually 5 centimeters. Let me put them together in the picture. Look at the difference. Here's the embryo, 5 millimeter, half a centimeter, and here's the chewing gum, 5 centimeter. It's actually 1 to 10. One-tenth of the size. Wow. Does this, Christy, look to you like that?
No.
Look at the details God put in the 5 millimeter, where there is no detail whatsoever in the chewing substance, as some translated in the Quran in English language. But let me show you the difference between the 120, that's about 98, not even 120. Oh, that part here is less than 120. I promise you, give him another 12 days, that'll be 110. Give him another 22 days, you'll have a bigger smile on his face, bigger than what you see here. Christy, do you know that's a real picture of a baby, 98 days? And here is what the Quran describes the chewed substance. Up to 120 days. Does this, Christy, look like that?
You know, hey, Christy, you've had children, right?
Sure.
So, yeah. Christy.
Grandchildren, great-grandchildren.
Christy, when you have children at this time period, are you feeling kicks and moves?
Of course.
So it's not just a piece of meat floating inside your womb.
I really don't want to talk about my womb, but thank you. Yes, you can call
all
a
right,
baby.
All right. Okay. We're trying to understand. I'm not a woman. I never have any babies.
I know. That's why I'm here, right?
All right. Thank you for being part of our discussion. So, obviously, if there's a Muslim right now watching this podcast, my dear friend, here's what your Allah said. Here's what your Muhammad said. Here's what your Muslim scholar said. And here's what the logic is, a fact. And not even 120, that's 98. Trust me, you add 22 days to that to make it 120. It will be a little bit bigger because, you know, baby grow fast. Every week go by, Brother Paul, the kids grow fast, faster, faster, and faster.
We have a question here. Did you make these illustrations?
What do you mean, make these illustrations?
Did you draw this and create this?
This is our ministry videos, okay?
Okay.
Pictures and stuff like that. We did this with Brother Randy, God bless him. He's been helping me with the last 7 years.
But the fetus picture comes from a science book, it sounds like.
Well, it is obviously, yes. It's chewing gum, it's done, but we put it together. I did not take a picture of inside a baby, inside a mother. Never done that. But we put it. Now, let's talk about, remember, he said pieces of flesh, created and uncreated mother. Created and uncreated mother. And believe me, I can talk about that for an hour. But I don't have time to waste to talk about created and uncreated because it is a dumb sentence in the Quran and Muslim scholars making science out of it. Let me say it again. It's a dumb sentence in the Quran and Muslim scholars are creating science out of it. So, nonsensical whatsoever. So, here we go. Chapter 22 and verse 5.
O you people, if you were in doubt of the resurrection, so surely we created you from dirt, then from nutfa, then from a clot, then pieces of flesh, created and uncreated.
So what is created and uncreated mean? All right. The interpretation of Al-Qurtubi. Here is what the great Muslim scholar Al-Qurtubi told us about the created and uncreated. He said, Hugo.
Alfred said, created means completed the creation. Uncreated means a miscarriage.
Does this make any sense to you? Is this a logic interpretation to created and uncreated?
Well, to me it sounds like Al-Qurtubi doesn't know what it means.
Notice again, we're talking about the word is created and uncreated. Created means it was made out of nothing. Let me speak English to those who speak English. Created, it's made out of nothing. Uncreated means never exist. Because when you create something, you made something from nothing. When it's not created, it doesn't exist. But in his interpretation, it said what?
Created. It's the creation. Uncreated means...
Okay, so
I'm
going to read that because they can't hear it.
Right.
I was going to say, when I'm turning it up for the radio audience, Usama, when you come back, you always speak really loudly and you're excited and it blasts everybody. So,
I am. You do the reading,
or however we're going to do it.
Okay.
Alfred said created, completed the creation, uncreated. Miscarriage. It's just
It's stupid because uncreated man does not exist, but he said miscarriage. Because even when a mom loses her baby, there's something come out of it. Something come out of her. That something is the dead baby. If it's 4 months old, 6 months old, 8 months old, it doesn't matter. Some mom lose a baby at time of birth. Something go wrong and they come out dead.
And it's always sad.
It's always sad, of course, to lose a baby. But somehow that great Muslim Al-Qurtubi does not understand what the word uncreated means. He just made it up. Miscarriage is not uncreated. Let's continue. Here is Ibn al-Bari. Ibn al-Arabi, sorry, Ibn al-Arabi. Hear what he said.
Ibn al-Arabi said, created means which began its creation, and uncreated means the which is not created yet.
Read it, Paul, again for the radio people.
Okay. Ibn al-Arabi created which began its creation, and uncreated the which is not created yet.
How can it was not created yet? If Allah said, we created you from Nasfa into Alqa, into Madgha. There's two creation already happened, the Nasfa and the Flat. If there's blood inside the mother womb, there's something is made there. So don't tell me that's uncreated. They're making it up.
Huh?
They're making up meaning for nonsensical verses of the Quran.
I agree.
Okay, one more. Here we go. How about
Ibn Zayd created the one which Allah created in it, the head and the hands and the legs, uncreated. The one which nothing was created in it.
You mean it was like a piece of feather inside the mother womb, a little bit liquid which floating inside the mother womb? What a stupid scholars of Islam. When I say in Islam there is no scholar, people think I'm crazy. I call them dumbers. They said, you saw me, that's not an English word. Well, guess what? I kept it in my books. Dumbers, Muslim scholars are dumbers. And if you look in your dictionary, you will not find the word dumbers. So do me a favor. Find the right spot and you write dumbers. And you in front of it say, these are the Muslim scholars. And then you say, created by Usama Dakhtar. I invented the word. Dumbers are Muslim scholars. Trust me. Just add it to your dictionary so your children and your grandchildren will appreciate you. If Ibn Kathir and Al-Qurtubi and Al-Jalalayn and Al-Tabari made that stupid statement, they don't even understand the word uncreated means. Uncreated means doesn't exist. Period. Air. But we already got the first two stages. We already got the first two stages. Nasfa, which turned to Nasfa and Shaz, the two fluid, and the Kinji blood. Created, made a baby, uncreated. You cannot say the word uncreated. It's dumb. It's not Arabic. It's not English.
Yep.
One more time. Here's the baby on the left, 98 days. Here's the chewing gum. That chewing gum is something. If it is something, that means something was came to existing. Something was made. You want to use the stupid false word which Allah uses in the Quran, create, oh, whatever you want to put, okay? But there's something there. This is not nothing. Okay. Interpretation of Al-Tabari to the same verse, chapter 22, verse 5.
Okay, Nasfa, after it changed to a piece of flesh, Madga, there is nothing can be to it except it becomes a complete creature, except to be fashioned, and that is what it meant by his saying, created and uncreated, a complete creature and uncreated, the one miscarried by the mother. It was a piece of meat without any fashion, and the spirit will not be breathed in it.
Oh, piece of meat, no hand, no legs, no head, there's no spirit will be breathed into it. Of course, these Muslim scholars did not have the technology which we have today. As a matter of fact, Professor Keith Moore, bless his soul, Lord Jesus, did not have knowledge like we have it today. Have he looked inside the womb of a mama and look at the baby at the age of 100 years, 100 days, 110 days, 120 days, as Muhammad told us in the hadith and the great scientific evidence of the great prophet, he will, and if you have some clue what Muhammad meant by mother, he would not have spoke to the conference, and he would not have led hundreds but thousands of stupid Americans to accept Islam, because after all, how did Muhammad know these facts about the embryology? 1400 years ago, Brother Paul, Sister Christy, he must be a true prophet. This knowledge came to him from God. You just have to stop being stubborn, infidel, and say the Shahada and become good Muslims. October is another number. October is another number. Okay.
As if Allah divided the piece of meat into two. One of them is completely fashioned with the senses and the shape, and the second, which is missing these things, which means he clearly states that after the embryo became a piece of flesh, some of them was created a complete human without any deformation, and others who were not like that, and that is described by Qadada and Al-Dahak as if Allah saying that he created the piece of meat in different shapes.
I'm sorry, when you create the piece of meat into different shapes, some of them are going to be full baby and some are not going to be a baby. That means it is created. It is not uncreated. So even when you go to Al-Tabari and you go on and speak about Al-Dahak and you go on and quote Qatada and on with every other Muslim dummer, and they tell me that uncreated means created in different shapes. One half full body and one does not have anybody. If it has something in it, it's created. So when Allah used the word created and uncreated, Allah is dumber, and so is his Muslim scholar, and so is Muslim believers. They're all a bunch of dummers.
Some of it is completely, and this means soft without any difficulty, and others are the opposite of that.
Some of it is created completely, and this means soft, without any deformity. And others are the opposite of that.
So it is not soft. It has deformity, which means it's uncreated?
In order for it to, exist, it has to be...
Something!
Yeah.
If you cannot use created and uncreated, that's a dumb error in the Quran. And if we have one error in the Quran, as we have seen in the first video, then the whole Quran go bye-bye. Allah, Muhammad, and Quran go bye-bye together. Three of them in the garbage can. No kidding, in the garbage can. That's just a word. The whole thing is wrong, but I am picking on the word uncreated, because neither Allah, nor Jibreel, or Muhammad, or Muslim have an idea what the word created means.
I heard the messenger by my two ears as he pointing to them said, surely the nafta fall in the womb 40 nights. Then the angel fashioned on it. That's a little bizarre.
Surely the nafta fall into the womb 40 nights. Then the angel fashion on it, build on it. The two fluids we're talking about. By the way, the hadith, there are so many contradictions, different dates, different numbers, different information. That's okay. I quote all of them. Nafa go inside the womb, and there is an angel of the womb. Every one of you female, when you get pregnant, there is angels go inside your womb, and he work. He work with the baby. As we said that before. They'll say, oh, Allah, it's a Nafa. And Allah say, mashallah, mashallah. You're doing a great job. By the way, the angel will have a pen in his hand, and he have a scroll. Where is the pen? I got the pen. Here you go. A pen and scroll. And he will write, oh Lord, it is Nafa. Mashallah, mashallah. 40 days later, the angel is still sitting inside, okay? With a scroll and a paper, and a scroll and a pen. Oh, Lord, it is a halqa, a clock. Oh, mashallah, mashallah. You're doing a good job. Make sure that things stay okay. Oh, Lord, is a malga, piece of flesh. Oh, yeah. And then, let's continue.
All right. I'm going to go back and read that. How
do you say that name? Zohar.
Zohar said, I thought he said, the one he created, so he will say, oh, Lord, is it a male or female? So Allah will answer male or female. Then he will say,
whoa, 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 don't rush me now. I'm writing down. I'm the angel. I'm inside the womb now. Lord, do you want it to be a boy or a girl? Excuse me. Days and days, 40 plus 40, that's 80 plus 40, 120. What is that? When we know that a baby will be a boy or a girl according to the X or the Y he's getting from the father at the time of making love. Not a week later, not a month later, not 6 weeks later or 12 weeks later. No, 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 no. This is the nonsensical of Allah.
Well, doesn't this contradict their statement that, you know, that it's decided by whoever has the orgasm first?
Well, that's another story. I'm telling you, it's all mixed up. You know why some people say we only believe in the Quran, we don't believe in the Hadith? Because of this problem. But you cannot believe in the Quran unless you believe in the Hadith, because Allah said to obey Muhammad. What is Muhammad teaching? It's in the Hadith. You have to believe Muhammad. You have to honor Muhammad. His لا ينطق عن الهوى, he does not make mistakes when he speaks. He speaks truth. Okay? So now he has the question of a male, female, and all of that. Put it down. He's a male. Okay, he's a male. Write it down. Next.
Oh, Lord, it completely formed, or is it completely formed or deformed? Oh, wow.
Wait a minute. Is the angel inside the womb or not? Yes. Does angels have eyes or they're blind? They have to have eyes because they're writing down. He can see. Is he going to ask Allah formed or deformed? Are you kidding me? What Allah say? Allah will say, are you stupid? Are you blind? Can't you see it? But listen, go ahead.
So Allah will make him completely formed or deformed. Then he will say, oh, Lord, what is his provision? What is his term of life? What is his creature? Then Allah will make him miserable or happy.
So here is the doctrine of fate in Islam. Not fate. Fate. Allah determined for every baby what to be. A boy or a girl. Miscarriage or is going to be a normal baby. Will he be a boy or a girl? Will he be rich or poor? Will he be happy or unhappy? Will he go to hell or go to heaven? That's exactly what Allah is telling us here according to Muhammad teaching. Everything about your life, you have zero free will. Zero freaking free will. Everything about the life of the Muslim is already determined by Allah before he even inside the womb. Notice, all that, Paul, and that thing we're talking about, the baby, which is formed, not deformed, still they don't have life yet. No spirit has been given in him yet. Here we go. The scientific errors in stage four. We're taking one at a time. Error number one.
The description of the flesh does not fit with the true shape of embryology in this stage.
It is boo-boo. It's a big no-no, okay? Any person studying biology, even if you got a class somewhere in high school or in college, trust me, what we have shared with you, according to Muslim scholars, Muhammad and Allah, it's nonsense. It's stupidity, okay?
Basic high school biology will prove it wrong. That's the funny thing.
It's sick, man. Here we go. For those who can watch the TV, it is 11 to 14 weeks, 5 to 8 millimeters. Centimeter. Even it's like less than two inch, and you can see the head, you can see the hand, you can see the feet, you can see the fingers and the toes. Let's go to 15 to 18 weeks, 9 to 14 centimeters. Notice the baby's growing fast now. 9 to 14 centimeters. Big! You can see the eyes, the nose, the lips, I can hear snorkeling, smiling here, and his ears. Can you see the ears, Brother Paul? Toes,
yes.
Fingers.
Yes.
Exactly. Everything is there. That does not fit with the nonsensical of Allah's miracle in the Quran. Let's continue.
Surely every one of you were gathered in his mother's abdomen 40 days. Then he will become a clot like that 40 days. Then he will become a piece of flesh like that 40 days. Then Allah will send to him an angel with four words. So he will write his work, his term of life, his provision, and miserable or happy. Then he breathed in him the spirit.
Allahu Akbar. Who said that, Muhammad? Where? In Sahih Bukhari, in the book of the Prophet. Imagine with me, after 120 days, Sister Christy, the baby did not have life. How in the world that thing was growing inside the mother womb to look like these pictures we've shown here if he does not have life? And that's a miracle, Paul. That is a miracle. Okay. Let's go to stage four, error number two. Obviously, we covered. Here we go.
Error number two. This state of embryology is not alive yet. There is no spirit in it.
I'm telling you. Imagine you tell any doctor today, a mom have a baby a couple months, 3 months, 4 months, and it is not a living creature. Doctor, you think you're crazy. You lost your mind. Of course, it's a living creature. It moved. As a matter of fact, 24 days, as we said earlier, or from 18-24, you can hear the heartbeat. The heart beat. When my niece went to see the doctor 2 months ago after she was pregnant for, I believe, like a month, maybe a little bit more than a month, the doctor said, we hear three heartbeats, your heart and your two babies. Huh? Three hearts, Christy.
I remember hearing that. We had twins. I remember that moment.
So your wife also, because she had twins, there was three hearts beating inside her.
Yes.
How come the heart beat if there's no life in it?
That's a good question. Because I heard it. I saw him beating too. Cool thing
God
about the ultrasound.
God help us. This is a video. I don't know if it's going to play or not. Nope, did not play. In that video, by the way, normally it plays. You can see the baby move, and you can hear the waves of the heart. Pop, 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 pop. Tell this to Muhammad or Allah. Maybe Jibreel misunderstood what Allah said and give Muhammad the wrong information. I don't know what happened. I was not there. So obviously, I cannot give you that. Stage five. What time is it now?
11:38.
We'll stop it here. We'll stop it here. Let's chat a little bit. And because stage five is going to get even funnier, it is comedy. It's a bigger stage a little bit, and I hate to jump it in 10 minutes or so, and we'll not be able to finish. So this is what we learn about stage four, and boy, one mistake after another mistake is unbelievable. Help me, Lord Jesus. How can a Muslim literally believe that Muhammad is a prophet with this huge amount of error in just one stage? Forget about the previous three or the following two, okay? Five and six, okay? It's a comedy, actually. I think I have some pictures of that stage here would make people really think twice about being a Muslim.
Well,
they're sincere. Go ahead, bro.
We do have some questions that are really relevant to this.
Sure, let's answer
them. All right, so here's one. Are these from the 15 years pregnancy, the 10 years pregnancy, or the 4 years pregnancy?
We're going to talk about that in the end of our study, because obviously, maybe this brother here, Brother Isaac, is a smart man. He knows what he's talking about. But believe it or not, we have so many of our wonderful Muslim friends do not know anything about the years of pregnancy. So we're going to talk about the less time a mom can be pregnant and the longest time a mom can be pregnant, but it will make sense if the mom is pregnant, say, for 4 years, that around 120 is nothing but a piece of flesh. But the normal pregnancy, 9 months, we show you the pictures already. It's a full baby. I'm not kidding you. A full baby, and you can see them smiling inside their mama's womb. It's a miracle. It's amazing to see these videos inside the mother's womb. Go ahead, Kristen.
If you're trying to have a baby starting with a piece of gum, it might take four years or more.
That's what I was trying to say. If it's a 4 years pregnancy, the Quran makes sense. But the normal 9 months, it's too far. Any other questions?
Yes, we do. Let's see. Which one to come up first? How about...
What was the right order?
What did Islam say about the brain?
Well, brother, that is the one thing it does not mention in the teaching of the Quran concerning embryology. Because to have a brain, then you have to reject everything about the Quran and Muhammad and Allah and Islam. So no brain is available in this stage of embryology. It's true. I can't help it. Brother Isaac is funny. I like him a lot.
And let's see. I think that's the same or not. He did have another question.
Sure.
Did you know Al-Harith ibn Qalada?
Yeah. Al-Haz ibn Khalid or Qalada. What about him? The companion of Dr. Islamic prophet that studied embryology in Persia. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that in the end of our study. Where did Muhammad come up with this knowledge? Because believe it or not, Muhammad did not come up with it. Remember we talked a little bit earlier in program number one. What is a miracle? A miracle is something you can observe. No, something miraculously happening. It's not something you observe. So when Allah says in the Quran, and from his signs or from his miracle, the rain come and the plant grow and you have fruit of different things. And different flavor. Excuse me, this is not a miracle. That verse is a comedy. Why? Because any person, if you're atheist or you're agnostic or you're Christian or you're Jew or whatever, you know when the rain comes, grass grow and trees grow and different fruits of different flavor. Unless you never eat any fruit and this is a brand new information for you, okay? So what is a miracle? It is something you don't copy from somebody else. So if I say, blah, 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 and you copy my blah, blah, blah in your book and say, hey, look what a great miracle I'm sharing with you. That's not a miracle, okay? So you have to be the one who originated, not copied for somebody else. And that's a problem with embryology because everything Muhammad said about the stages of embryology is copied from all the books. Some of it is actually 1,100 years before Muhammad. So we're going to be quoting all this material for you once again to show you that Muhammad's miracle of embryology is a copy of a false information, no more or less. So now Muhammad lost his credibility to be a prophet or a messenger. When you copy wrong information, you're in deep trouble. It's like somebody in a class.
You call that plagiarism.
Yeah, plagiarism is true. But imagine you sit in a test in a classroom and you have no answer for the question. And the guy sitting next to you made up answer. So the professors ask about this question about the sun. How big is the sun? So the guy next to you, he says, it is 4 times bigger than the earth. And a guy next to him said, oh, he's copying from the other guy, cheating. It is 4 times bigger than the earth. And you expect to pass the test. You're copying a bad student, bad information. That's what Muhammad did. Oh, Joe.
Well, let's do a praise report. Friend had her baby at, Linda Yeshua's friend had her baby at 6 months, full baby. And I actually, one of my best friends had his wife had a baby just about that age, and it's all I can say is it's just a miracle to see.
Now, let me share with you a bigger miracle than that. My niece in Egypt, my sister, she have a surgery because of some complication in her body, and the doctor had to do a surgery, and her baby was 5 months, 5 months and 3 weeks, so 1 week less than 6 months. And somehow my sister just delivered that baby, and obviously the doctor, that was, I can go for 32 years ago. If you think we have children care and baby care in Egypt now, 30 years ago we have nothing. So what happened, the doctor bought her in a carton and gave her to my mom. And my mom said, what is this? He said, that's your granddaughter. Mama said, will she live? Because she's this big. I mean, literally like a little bit thing, in a coffin. And the doctor said, most likely not. So if you lose her, there's nothing you really worry about it, because as long as your daughter is healthy and alive, you know, she can have babies in the future. My mom prayed and prayed and prayed over this baby. She put her in a cotton, take the cotton out, put cotton in. My sister will not even look at it for 3 months. For 3 months, she will not look at it because, and I remember when I used to go inside the room, and mom said, close the door, close the door. She does not have any air, unclean air to come to it, to that baby, Christine, her name. And then, you know, this drop, years ago, they used to put drop in your eyes, a piece of rubber. Yeah, but it's made out of glass. The piece in the bottom is glass and a rubber in the top.
Yes.
Mom mixed in the same bottle sugar and water. Sugar and water. And she takes this thing, and she doesn't have a mouth. She's too small. Everything is small. And she dropped the water in her mouth. And mom did that for 3-4 months. She makes some milk for me and stuff like that. And after 3 months, I saw Christine. And she's still too small. And she she couldn't even cry. And guess what? Today, she's a mama of 3 children.
Wow.
She married, 5-6 years ago. And she has 3 children. And praise God. So 5 months and three, less than 6 months, 32, 33 years ago. If that's not a miracle, I do not know what miracle is.
And Linda said the boy is 20 years old now.
Yes. So that's the thing. We have examples of this, which you would think Muslims who believe this would become a little skeptical about what their Quran is teaching.
Yeah.
It's surprising, you know, how there's this ignorance that can keep going on when we have so much evidence of what really happens now.
But you know what, Christy?
Yeah.
Think about the American people who are very smart and very educated.
Yeah.
How can American people, very smart and very educated, will allow to abort these babies?
I'll tell you exactly how. Because the media and the Planned Parenthood machine, which is a business, money-making, disgusting business, passed regulations that the government allowed to stand that you could not show a woman a ultrasound. And there was constant interference when Christians tried to go to abortion clinics. I know this because in Mississippi, they managed to close all of them but one by going there and trying to share and even showing pictures like these of what the baby looked like at that stage. Women were lied to and told, that's not true. This is just self. But now there is no excuse. But we just know that people now have become so heartless.
Yes.
They're willing to kill a child.
When I worked at a crisis pregnancy center, it was one of the things that they actually did is they would get the young mothers to go to get an ultrasound. And I mean, they showed them videos too, but, you know, the idea of showing a young mother an ultrasound shows that there's life there.
Yeah, and I'm thankful for Focus on the Family. They have a great commercial.
Yeah.
I watched it a few times about the baby, and he's asking, will he come out to the world? Man,
yes.
If that commercial will not move you, $60, guys, if the Lord put on your heart to give $60 to Focus on the Family, that will give a mom a chance to see her baby with the technology we have today. And that for sure will change the mind of that mom for aborting her baby. So it is money worth spending. If the Lord bless you with $60, Focus on the Family, it's a true conservative Christian. They're not going to steal your money. They're not going to use it for anything else, but you are paying for ultrasound. What do you call it? Ultrasound, is the right word?
Ultrasound, yeah.
Yeah, ultrasound for a mom to see her baby.
Yeah.
Worth spend $60. You can go eat lunch tomorrow after church. You and your husband and two of your children, and you're going to spend more than $60. For heaven's sake, fix a meal at home, and you save the $60 to help folks in the family to pay for one ultrasound for a mom.
Yeah, there are
any other question before we close for the radio group? Any question quickly going on?
Sorry, I'm going to say as quickly, put down, you know, put while this video is playing, please put your questions in and I will save them for later.
All right, here it is, our last 10 minutes, the most important 10 minutes of every Saturday night, because now you can make a decision to come out of Islam or whatever you don't believe, if you don't believe in Christ, and you become a Christian. It's the most important 10 minutes of every Saturday night show.
It astounds me that people who are going to buy a new stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator will spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the streets. A passerby interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. The beliefs? I only know of two. I said the man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and just two beliefs. Ironside said, there are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book. They're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we the message of Jesus as he came into the world was before ever he came to paint a portrait in words when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be betrayed, and you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. No, said another prophet. It would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. You remember they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. Not the scripture. He will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all they had to do to disqualify him from being the Messiah was pay 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the Messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. But you see, that's not the extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver and who authenticated his messiahship by that. I've given you fulfilled prophecies. There are over 300 of them. Now, my friend, you've got to do something with that. You can ignore it.
But if you examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any other religion in the world, God has taken your brain seriously, and he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truthfulness. But there's more. Some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has made an offer to the human race. To those who find the way barred, because their own sin and failure has kept them from meeting God's standard, there is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all those who believe, for all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by the good works, how are you doing? Oh, not bad. Oh, really? Not bad, huh? Oh, doing pretty good. Doing my best. Oh, you are. I've never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now listen carefully. And you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall under the same category. You do it, and if you do it well enough, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will do. But when you find out you need a savior, the list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building, and you're screaming out the window, help, save me, and I'm walking by and I say, ah, save yourself. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to be saved. You can't save yourself. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness, as a gift, a free exchange. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you into heaven. There's no follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, okay, God, here's your challenge. Put my life up on this side. Put your law on that side. And I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. Say, oh no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top 0.5%, you know. Maybe they're going to get in if God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However, can I expect to get into heaven? Oh, says God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. So God sets the standard. God hands over the bill, and then he pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, the evidence in your own heart that you're a sinner and you need a savior, and you can't save yourself. and then read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners. He came to save you. You will, as the Bible declares, be honest with God about your sin. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And receive the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. Say, oh God, I don't know why you'd want me. I'm damaged goods. But you said that whoever came to you, you would in no wise cast out. Take me now. Save me now. I give up. I'll accept the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen and amen to that.